Okay, this afternoon we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 8 along the title of A More Excellent Ministry. As we have just read Hebrews chapter 8, we can see in this chapter of the new covenant that should be established through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to make a new covenant. As the book of Hebrews compares those things that were of the former in the Old Testament to Christ, we find that the key word is better, that Christ came to provide a better way and a more excellent ministry, as we see in Hebrews chapter 8. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has come to, in full fulfillment, we might say, of the Old Testament, that he may become that eternal high priest, of which Melchizedek is, of course, the type, and Jesus the antitype of that. And so Jesus has come to make a new covenant. And we begin with chapter 8, verse 1. Now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is seated on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. Now as we look at this passage, we find Christ who is seated on the right hand of God the Father. Now of course this depicts a different mode of the high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament was in the tabernacle upon the earth. The high priest in the Old Testament was offering sacrifices for men unto God. But here we find the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated in heaven, that his sacrifice provided the way that we might have a more excellent ministry, in that we can come directly unto God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, and he is that mediator of the new covenant for us. And so Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is now the mediator of the better covenant. The old covenant being under that Mosaic law and Levitical system, the new covenant being under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he has died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he is risen again according to the scriptures, and has ascended unto the right hand of the Father. This passage of Scripture comes true upon the prophecy that we find in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, I will write it and teach I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. We find that the new covenant which the Lord established would bring in a more perfect way. That is, the Lord himself should be the mediator of the new covenant. The Lord himself will be that one that we come to in his name, and that we will find that our worship and our ministry then is in spirit and in truth. As it says in John 4:24, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the minister of the sanctuary in the Old Testament was the priest of the Old Testament. But the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched is not with man, but with God. And so this is the eternal aspect of it, and the more excellent ministry of it. It has transcended the temporal and has taken on the eternal. In verse 3, "For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer." Just as in the Old Testament there was the need for the priest to offer gifts and sacrifices for the remission of sin, we find that Christ also must have something to offer. And so we find Christ, who offers up himself for the sins of the world, who shed his own blood for the sins of the world, and that he becomes the atonement for our sins. The new covenant and more excellent ministry is Christ, not after the old, but after the new and the eternal office of the priest, the high priest. And so the new covenant shall be in their minds and in their hearts, not in an earthly tabernacle wherein men dwell and offer sacrifices. No, the new covenant shall be in the hearts and lives of people, and God shall minister directly to them. Just as here we're here this afternoon, we come in fellowship and in true communion to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that our ministry in the heart is toward God the Father and His Son, and it is a ministry established by this more excellent way of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." We find that the Old Testament was a system of law and sacrifice, and that the sacrifices, of course, had to be made continually, and they did not fully take away the sin in that regard, but they made certain atonement toward God concerning their sin. And only Christ himself could fully ratify or justify, as it were, by his own precious blood, the righteousness that should be accounted unto man. And for the righteousness of God alone would satisfy the need of man's sin to be atoned for and to be dealt with. Secondly, in that day shall every man know the Lord. In that day shall every man know the Lord. Reading on in verse 5, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." The Old Testament covenant and the Old Testament Levitical system was built upon a shadow of those things to come. But Christ himself made a better covenant, which was established upon better promises, the promises that the Messiah should come and redeem his people from their sin, the promise that God himself should be that one that would take away the sin of his own people by his mercy and by his grace, that he would establish that better way. And so the knowledge of Christ shall be the work of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was necessary for the fathers to tell their children, and that the prophet should tell the people, and that the priest should offer the sacrifice. In other words, there was a system of learning and understanding and knowledge of those things which were of God and by His divine promise and foreshadowing. But we find that in the New Testament, as Christ has established this better way, this better covenant, this more excellent ministry, we find that God the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals to our hearts the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we find that in John chapter 3, that if we would be born again, we must be born again of the Spirit of God. If we would be born again, we must be born from above. We must be born from God. It will not be sufficient just to know things after the law and the commandment. No, we must know them after the Spirit of God. And that is the better way. That is the more excellent ministry that Christ came to establish. That He Himself should be the mediator of that new covenant and that better way. And that God the Holy Spirit should be that divine teacher and administrator of the truth of the Word of God, that we might know all things by the power of the Spirit of God as He ministers that into our hearts and our lives. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. We'd just like to say that if we are to know anything that God might teach us, we must know it after the working of the Spirit of God. That is, you may have your Bible in your hand, and you may read it, and you may study it, and you may gain certain academic knowledge of it. But to truly know the truths of it, you must know it after the work of the Spirit of God. God is the divine teacher. God the Holy Spirit is that one that impresses it upon our lives. And you cannot know it except you know it within your own heart as God impresses it upon you. The pastor may tell you the truth. Your mother and father may impress upon you certain truths and principles. And you may find that even you are able to attain a certain head knowledge, but you will not know the truth of it until God Himself impresses it upon your life, that it becomes a reality in you as God the Holy Spirit teaches it to you. And so this more excellent ministry is by the power of the Spirit of God, not by the power of man, but as God Himself works upon your heart. In the Old Testament, we find God the Holy Spirit work intermittently within the people that God chose to work in. And it might be in the prophet, it might be in the priest, it might be in the king that He anointed. But God the Holy Spirit would work upon those people and by those occasions according to His will. But He would not work individually in every man. No, it was by divine revelation God would reveal to those people of the Old Testament economy wherein God chose to work. But now we find that every man, every individual can know by the power of the Spirit of God, and that no man might teach him except God teach him those truths fully and faultlessly. And so it is that God's ministry is a more excellent ministry through our Lord Jesus Christ. "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor. Everyone shall know the Lord, and the Lord shall reveal Himself to them." The Lord shall reveal Himself to them. Let's read on in verse 7. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second." The first covenant was not faultless. It did have its faults. But the second covenant is without fault in that Christ is that eternal high priest of it. Verse 8. "For finding fault with them, He saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this covenant is that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. In John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And so we find this verse putting together those things of that prophecy which was concerning this new covenant with that great hope of eternal life that should come by the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 to 29, But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And in these verses we also have put together that whole process whereby we not only learn of the Lord Jesus Christ and those wonderful truths by the power of the Spirit of God and his ability to teach us, but of that blessed hope that we have of his soon appearing. And so the eternal promises are there for us through Christ our Lord. They are taught to us by the power of the Spirit of God. And we have the availability of the Spirit of God as our divine teacher to minister to us. And the hope of eternal life, which is confirmed upon our hearts also by the divine teacher. This is a more excellent ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished through his atonement, through his resurrection, his ascension, and now his coming again. Thirdly, the new covenant, he shows mercy to their unrighteousness. And this we see in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 8. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old, now that which decayeth and groweth old is ready to vanish away. So here we find that the new covenant is a covenant of mercy and of grace. The Old Testament covenant was a covenant of the law. It was built after and upon the law of God. There was a certain amount of mercy and there was a certain amount of grace that God did show to his people. But remember that when they transgressed the law of God, then the consequences was conditional. That is, if they did trust in God and believe in God and walk with God, then they were blessed accordingly. But if they did not, then they were judged accordingly. It was a consequence to their actions before God. And that we find that it depended upon their attendance to the law, to the sacrificial system, and to the prophet, and so on, wherein God revealed himself. And remember, the Spirit of God was given to those certain people that should be involved in revealing more and more of the truth of the Word of God to the people of Israel. Now we have a more excellent ministry in that the Lord himself is the ratifier of the new covenant. And we find that this is called the age of grace because the grace of God is that which rules and reigns upon the hearts and lives of people. That is, if the law was still in place, then we should have to sacrifice. If the law was still in place, there should have to be judgments meted out. If the law was still in place, then certain consequences to our actions certainly would come forward, not just by the law of the land or the law of the government, but because of God. We would be under that theocratic rule of God. But now we find in Christ there is a more excellent ministry, an excellent ministry of grace and of mercy, which is administered to all who will receive the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 11, 26 through 30, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." And so we find God has extended mercy. He has extended His grace. It is true that the Jews in the time of Christ did turn away from the Lord, that He was crucified, that He did die for the sins of the world. It was also a part of the plan and purpose of God that the full work of redemption should take place and that the grace and mercy of God should be made manifest unto man. That Christ was revealed in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, and that He should come forth as the Son of God, that He should reveal Himself unto man, that He should ultimately pay the sacrifice for sin, that He should appease the wrath of God, that the full atonement of sin should be made known, that He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And now does grace reign through the blood of Christ. And we have this more excellent ministry. "The old is passed away, and in Christ all things are made new." As we read in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, "Therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, behold the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sakes, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." How wonderful this new ministry, which has been established through our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful this work of God, that we can see that this ministry is a more excellent ministry. And so in closing, let us just reflect upon these things. That Christ Himself is the more excellent sacrifice, that the new covenant might be established. That Christ Himself is the more excellent way, that we no longer have to offer sacrifices according to the law of God, but mercy and grace reign instead. And that we can be thankful that Christ truly is our mediator between God and man, and we can worship Him in spirit and in truth, and God Himself becomes the full and final teacher in each heart which comes to faith in Jesus. This is the more excellent ministry of Christ, and this we give thanks for in the name of Jesus Christ unto our Heavenly Father. Let us bow in prayer. Loving Father, we thank You for this more excellent way. We thank you that Christ is the better sacrifice for sin. We thank you that Christ came in the full completion of all things prophesied of him. And though those things in the Old Testament were a shadow, Christ himself is the fulfillment of them. And grace and truth came to us through our blessed Savior, insomuch that we ourselves can call upon the name of the Lord and know that our sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. We praise you and thank you and ask your blessing upon your word and upon our lives, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.